Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Field Pass. This is Dan. I have Mikey and John joining me to discuss 9 overtimes worth of football. Illinois taking down number 7, Penn State, in Happy Valley. Mikey, the only one to predict it correctly. Unbelievable, boys. How are we here?
What a game. I mean, I don't think I sat down on my couch for the whole fourth quarter or all 9 overtimes. I just knew that we were going to win. You know, normally I don't have that feeling. I thought we were going to blow it or do something, you know, wild, like in typical Illinois fashion. But, you know, we came out on top, and, you know, what an exciting way to, you know, longest game in college football history, you know, put an asterisk next to that one. But pretty incredible on Saturday.
Yeah, my heart rate is definitely still on the descent from that. That was absolutely bananas. I mean, Dan can attest. I mean, we were both, you know, in a world of hurt, but
standing up and yelling and screaming and everything in between for 9 overtimes.
Yeah, we were I was in absolute hell, and it was as stressful as a game like that is going to get. And Mikey, like, it's interesting that you say that, because I didn't necessarily have maybe the confidence you did that we were going to win the game. It was more so that I was hanging on to every offensive snap. But, like, the defensive snaps, I was fairly confident just based on how the game had been playing out. But, like, somehow the guys were going to find a way. I mean, obviously, I was a little bit more nervous when it was Penn State. You know, if they convert, then they win the ball game. But, you know, when it was one of those where they were starting out first, and I was like, you know what, I think we're going to probably get this. And then it came down to the offense, and there were a couple, you know, nerve-wracking, whether it was the short pass to Jakari Norwood that could have sealed it, or Josh McCray just not quite getting that pass caught. It was definitely stressful, but just really glad the boys came down. I have a question for you guys, because, like, I think Danny can attest to this. Like, I honestly thought, so Casey Washington, the way that his right wrist is taped, when he went to brace himself for, like, the fall, I was, like, so paranoid that somehow that ball wasn't going to be caught, that I was like, oh no, like, he dropped, like, as he's rolling over, he dropped, because the first thing I saw was that white stripe, and I was like, oh, that's the ball, isn't it? So, like, I was, like, waiting for that, there'd be, like, some kind of confirmation. But I don't know if you guys are just, like, immediate pandemonium. I mean, Danny, I know it was pretty exciting, but I was just, like, waiting with that little bit of bated breath.
Yeah, no, I definitely thought he caught it, and I was jumping up and down celebrating. But I see where your head was at there, John, because not only did it kind of looked like, you know, maybe it would have been a drop or whatever, what you saw. I mean, just stuff that happens to Illinois sports in general, you know, it would just be like, you know, go figure. But no, he caught it, and his gloves are now in the College Football Hall of Fame. So good for Casey. <light gloves. laughs>
We love that.
Yeah. It's funny how in those overtimes, when your team is going second and the other team's already, you know, failed their conversion, I didn't have much anxiety. But then as soon as we don't convert and we have to go first, and if when we don't convert and it's just one play for them to win, the anxiety level goes up tenfold.
I was the exact opposite.
Were you?
That's it's interesting that you say that, because I was like, the most tense I was when we had the chance to win the game. And then, like, when if you don't get it or whatever, like, then you start rationalizing. You're like, okay, like, how are we going to either get this, or what's the defense going to do if we don't get this? Like, I immediately just start, like, doing the rationalization nation. But, like, the highest moments of stress were, I mean, you can attest to it. Like, I was yelling at the TV when that throw was short to Dakari. And obviously we don't love that Art got hurt on that play, but that was just one of those where I was like, oh man, you saw it, like, develop on the screen. And that was probably the most intense moment there, where I was like, oh, the game was to be had. And then, but we still pulled it out. So gotta love that dub.
Talking offensive side of the ball, I mean, Chase Brown, Josh McCray, all 15 of the offensive linemen that we played.
Did you guys see the picture on Twitter? I think Kirby Joseph retweeted it, of just like 200 linemen across the entire field.
Yeah, that was so hilarious. Funny.
That was incredible.
But I mean, they couldn't stop it. That's your typical, like, bully ball. And to do that against the number 7 team in the country, you know, probably won't finish in the top 25, to be honest, with the schedule they have upcoming. But on their home, you know, at their place, homecoming, you know, probably thought it was going to be a cakewalk for them.
23-point favorites.
Yeah, we came in and just, you know, in my opinion, dominated that game. I know the score, you know, we were trailing for most of it and then tied, you know, but I felt like we were in control the entire time. You know, if you take out those three turnovers that we had, you know what, we were 50% on third down, which is, you know, incredible, held them to 220 yards of offense. So just, you know, overall, like our team came out to play and definitely did not look like a team that was not on board with their head coach. Like, some people thought at the beginning of the week, but
I love that so much that like they came out and just, and that's the thing, like it was from the jump too. Like that, I know Danny and I were talking about how like it was great how we were dominating them early on. Like it could have easily been like 14-3 or something like that. Now it does get a little concerning when it's not like that, the score reflecting how much of a lopsided game it was at that point. But it was still just so good to see that the boys came out there. And like, I love it too, that Bielema, for like all the comments that were made about specifically the O-line room, that then he just comes out there and we're just, you know, seven offensive linemen shoving it down your throat. Absolutely love it. Just an unreal start to the game. And, you know, then to hold that throughout was incredible.
Yeah. The O-line was as impressive as it can be. And like Mikey said, we were dominating pretty much everything with the exception of the pass game. But when you're running the ball that well, who cares? You just got to protect it, which we didn't do. We had our turnover game, but overcame it because every other run was basically a 20-yard gash play, it seemed like.
Yeah, it was like when we would get stopped for like 3 or 4 yards, which isn't horrible. You know, I'm still sitting there like, damn, like that should have went for 12 because, you know, that's what we've been doing this whole game. But, you know, I would have loved to see how many rushes over 10 yards we had in that game because it was probably a lot.
Yeah, Josh McCray and Chase Brown just bouncing off of every wimpy tackler. That was always fun to see. These guys are becoming arguably the best duo in the Big Ten when it comes to running backs. I don't know. I mean, Michigan has a couple good running backs themselves, but Illinois' running backs are looking like some of the best in the country, which is Brett Bielema's identity that he wants to establish here. So it's fun to see that coming to fruition here in, you know, year one.
I would love to be a fly on the wall in the receiver room just to see those guys and their mindset, you know, going into each week. Because, you know, back when I was playing, you know, with all the offense coordinators I had, we were generally a balanced offense. Like we were going to throw the ball just as much as we were going to run the ball. And on Saturday it was, you know, easily 85% run. And that's tough on the receivers, but when you get the, you know, all those long runs that they had, those are downfield blocking plays made by the receivers. So I want to make sure that although the stats weren't there for them, I want to give them some credit as well. Cause you know, it's all 11 guys doing their job on the field.
Oh yeah. Some of those downfield blocks, I mean, are what helps spring some of those longer runs too. I mean, that's just that second and third level blocking by receivers and tight ends is so crucial. That obviously, you know, you got those man movers up front. That was absolutely incredible. But yeah, it was a great effort from everyone on the offense. I mean, Danny, even just go back to your point about how like deep the room is. I can't remember if it was a third or fourth and short. You'd think with how much I harped on fourth and short, whatever. But like Josh McCray, like it was 2 yards to go, and there was a DB who like had him in the backfield or like 1 yard deep, and that was just one of those where I had zero concern at all about that being like a tackle for loss or anything. Like there was no shot that Josh McCray was not falling forward for, and like he ended up turning into like a 15-yard run or something like that too. Cause he's just like DBs are not going to be able to bring these guys down. And that is just, I love that so, so much that we have that kind of identity.
Were you guys on team bring Isaiah in a like QB option, like a read option play in the overtime at all? Cause I know once especially when Art came out, were you ready for BP to be in there? Did you think we had some other trick up our sleeve?
Yeah. I mean, I hope, you know, if it was in the playbook, I would have loved for them to, you know, throw that in there with Isaiah. And I obviously was pulling for that just cause I wanted the ball in his hands just cause he's such a dynamic playmaker. Then especially with Chase going down, Chase Brown, that is going down, you know, just having essentially two running backs, one of them as a quarterback in Isaiah, you know, could have expanded our options a little bit on those 2-point conversions. But my guess is that, you know, on those 4 to 5 2-point conversion plays that they scripted to run during the week, they probably didn't have any, you know, packages with Isaiah in
You're
it.
You're telling me they have 9 2-point conversion plays on your play card, Mikey?
No, you don't. And I'm assuming all the Isaiah William packages are probably, you know, not on the goal line. So that could be the reason why. But I, of course, was, you know, wanting him to come in selfishly just because he's a dynamic playmaker when he touches the ball.
Well, and the thing even with that is that with his ability to stretch the – like, when you're that crammed at the goal line, like, you still need to be able to move a defense laterally just to get those little bit of windows of space if you're trying to run the ball. Now, I was surprised that – and I know it was very obvious that – what was that? Probably the fifth or sixth overtime when they eventually ran the ball and Josh McCray got absolutely stuffed. Mm-hmm. That was one of those where it's like, I'm pretty sure I said to Dan, like, yeah, I think they got to run it here. But if I can deduce that, then everyone knows, like, yeah, they'll probably look to run the ball here. I was surprised they didn't do more of that in the earlier OTs just because of how much they had manhandled the D line of Penn State. But like, if you get some action with Isaiah in terms of some motion, maybe you get some lateral movement from the defense, that then you can run the ball. But I mean, I love that they got him involved eventually with that little pop pass. And I mean, that was one of those where I didn't quite get to appreciate that play to its fullest because I still think we got away with one there in terms of Reggie Love moving before the ball was snapped. So I'm like freaking out, like pissed that like we're somehow going to have this play overturned. Like I was waiting to see laundry, especially with how that drive where we should have scored twice went, where it was just like, oh yeah, penalty, oh penalty, gosh, penalty. I was just like waiting for the other shoe to drop because I was like, that's kind of that seemed like Reggie Love might have been moving at the start. But I mean, still, what an unreal effort from Isaiah. Like I know Bielan was singing his praises after in terms of being, you know, maybe the smallest guy on the field, but being the toughest one out there. That was incredible. And like you kind of knew once he tucked it up and ducked his head that he was getting in, and that was just that was wonderful to see, and I'm glad that he got his little moment there in all those overtimes.
In a game like that, there's so many different individual plays or efforts you can call out and be like, that saved the game. I think we all thought Talon Laetze's muff punt recovery late in the fourth quarter was arguably the biggest play of the game, because if he doesn't recover that, Penn State gets the ball in their goal line. They probably just kneel it to kick the field goal at the end or just pound it in with a couple seconds left. So that play... Mm-hmm. To me, was one that was just enormous. And if that doesn't happen, Illinois doesn't win that game. But there's other plays too you could point to. You could point to Kirby Joseph in overtime and, you know, coming in and diving at the legs and stuffing the guy at the goal line. Was that sixth overtime or something? There was Keith Randolph's arm stuffing like four mm-hmm. different dudes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's plays. Tony Adams made a couple huge plays. Mikey, that was your pick of the week. So there's so many different plays you can call out. It's kind of fun to sit here and talk about all of them. But was there anything you guys had besides those I just listed that stuck out to you?
You know, there's a ton. I, you know, Dan, the muffed punt recovery, you know, that is obviously huge. You know, it won't show up anywhere on a stat sheet, you know, but that's just the awareness play and just ultimately save the game for us. But you know, Kalen Tolson with that PBU.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I think Robert tweeted, like, you know, if we were on offense first and scored and then Kalen had that PBU, everyone would be talking about the PBU versus Casey's catch. And I 110% agree with him on that. Such a huge play. You know, obviously it'll get notched in the stat book, but, you know, just a very good play that ultimately, you know, helped lead us to the win.
Well, what's the old cliche? It's luck is when hard work meets preparation or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And that's like Talon Laetze to a T. I mean, the guy was, you know, sleeping in a car and, you know, grinding his way. And that's just like, you know, his moment, his quote unquote lucky moment is just like being in the right place at the right time right there. And I like, it was pretty funny because he had some space. Like, honestly, if there wasn't, you know, the fair catch that was called, he might have, you know, taken that you know, 15, 20 yards. Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, there's nothing quite like Shades of 2019, Brandon Peters rolling right and kind of throwing back across his body for, you know, a game-winning play. That was just like a Shades of Michigan State. Gotta absolutely love that. I mean, that was just unreal. And I don't know. Yeah, there's so many plays there. I know we've been talking about the offense a bunch, but the defense, mm-hmm. like
the defensive line,
I can't believe how
Rod Perry,
I'm incredibly confident in these guys. Like,
yeah,
I what is it?
They're winning at the line of scrimmage all day. Yeah, which against Penn State, the number 7 team in the country. What, first year Brett Bielema?
Yeah, they got 4 stars all along their lines. Like, are you kidding me? Like, yeah, Keith Randolph, Johnny Newton, Rod Parrott. Like, you can't sing enough praises, but some of those guys are just unbelievable. And I
how about
I
Tariq
can't believe
Barnes
it.
Just like jumping mm-hmm. the snap counts perfectly oh, yeah. all day. They must have studied the film somehow on the cadence, because he was in the backfield as soon as the ball was snapped on two or three different occasions. And, you know, John and I were talking about it while we were watching that. I mean, that was probably the game plan for him, to try to get in that lane immediately mm-hmm. and force an immediate cutback right into the teeth of the mm-hmm. defense. So he did it on the very first play of the game, set the tone early. Devin mm-hmm. Witherspoon was reading those bubble screens perfectly.
Little Spoon on that corner blitz. Big
oh my
play.
Gosh. Yeah. That was awesome.
Lil Spoon became like a big old salad spoon this week.
He grew up. He definitely grew up.
He was reading it. I mean, there's so many different plays that you could talk about. Isaiah Gay getting in there a couple times. Owen Carney was in the backfield. Like we said, Johnny Newton, Rod Perry were pressuring, you know, all day. And then you had some really good, you know, corner and safety blitzes off the edge, disguised, that Ryan Walters called, that had Clifford on his back leg, you know, floating ball. So, I mean, there's a lot of good, you know, to say about the Illinois defense. And you could look at the PFF grades and that would match it. There's so many guys that were graded really well this week, including the number one running back in the nation, Chase Brown. So O-line, running backs, everyone, you know, defense, D-line, linebackers, everyone seemed to step up this week. So if you can keep that momentum going, a lot of young guys too that were in this lineup. So that's a lot to build on going forward.
Well, and I think to touch on that, like the whole quote unquote drama that was going on before the game in terms of like, oh, has Brett Bielema lost their locker room and all those talking points. A guy like, you know, Mikey's pick of the week, Tony Adams, going out there and bawling out was incredible. I mean, that's a guy who could have quit so easily, you know, weeks, maybe even months ago, in terms of maybe not playing too well or, you know, getting slotted for Taz Nicholson or whatever it might be. But to go out there and have as many impactful plays as he did, like that was incredible. And like, yeah, we could go down the line, but that was something where I like kept noticing Tony Adams just making massive tackle after massive tackle. And that's all effort. And that's something where, you know, that's obvious buy-in from, you know, a team and for a guy who, you know, was chastised by most of the main media. So we love to see that in terms of the locker room being 100% behind Brett Bielema.
And I would be remiss if I didn't mention the lads, James McCourt, a couple of huge field goals, and Blake Hayes, biggest play of the day, calling heads in the overtime, getting the lead. That set the tone in overtime, gave us the you know, the early bird in hand, if we want to call it that, by knowing that what the Penn State offense was going to do. So that was a big play in and of itself. Mikey, were you a coin toss guy back in the day, and were you a heads or tails guy?
I don't know that I ever called the coin at Illinois.
Is that it was so Nick weird Allegretti that, like, coin guy? You know, put him out there and let him.
Yeah. But going back to Blake Hayes, when he called heads and it was heads, I immediately in my mind was like, I hope he knows college rules versus NFL. Because this is a guy who was living in Australia 4 years ago, you know? I'm like, please pick defense. And he's like, defense. I'm like, yes.
I love that, like, they singled him out, too. Like, they made sure that Blake was – because he was all the way at the far end. And, like, he's like, no, Blake is making this call. I don't know what that was about, but, like, they made sure, like, it was on Blake's shoulders. Boy, oh, boy, did he come through.
A call I probably would have gone tails, so.
Me, too.
Same.
Tails.
Tails never fails, but yeah. It did in this case. I'm glad Blake Hayes knew it. So he played it well on that one. And then, like we said, James McCourt. Couple pressure field goals too, you know, easily through. So all across the board, defense, special teams, offense, coaching, you know, everything was there this week. And, you know, let's keep that train rolling.
Yeah. We'll have a good preview Rutgers episode, because, and we'll get into it more, but I think it's very, very, very pivotal game for us on Saturday.
Oh yeah.
A little early teaser, Mikey. Who's going to be a quarterback? Do we go to Brandon Peters? Is there something else up the sleeve of Brett Bielema this week? Or, you know, what's the game plan? What are we thinking?
I'm right in the sixth year's hand going BP. And I think that's, you know, what they'll end up doing, because I'm not sure who they have after him.
John, are you on that train too?
I was going to say, and not to like, you know, tip the previews hand, but I think the confidence that you, and listen, Rutgers is not a slouch. They're a very good team. Yeah, but if there was a, if there was a game that Brandon Peters could quote unquote get right, this would be the spot. You know, you wouldn't want this to be Iowa or Minnesota or even Northwestern where he's got to come in for the final game and like try and gain some momentum back for this season. So this could be something where, you know, he takes the reins again, and I'm hopeful that he gets another chance. I mean, no shots against Ryan Johnson. It's just that he's an unknown commodity, and to throw him into a Big Ten stage immediately is a little premature in my opinion. But I also, you know, I'm going to defer to the staff because they seem to be pulling all the right levers right now. So, you know, what if Brett Bielema wants to put, you know, Zach Barlev and Josh Kreutz and some single digit numbers and put them at quarterback and just run triple option with some linemen. I'm here for it, to be quite honest.
Just win.
I'm with you.
Yeah, exactly. Just win, baby.
We just need a quarterback that knows the playbook and knows where to hand it off, because we're going to run for 500 yards and we might only throw for 20, but who cares if we're running, you know, loose like we did this week. So we'll put a cap on a big, big Illini win in Happy Valley. And you can follow us on social media at The Field Pass, as always. We are on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Find us there. Send us a comment. Interact with us. Mikey loves seeing all the Mikey specific stats of the week. So, Mikey, you got a big flag football game tomorrow or what?
Big matchup tomorrow. Final regular
today
season.
When you're hearing this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big matchup tonight. It's final regular season game. You know, everyone makes the playoffs though, so we're coming in strong to the playoffs. But big game seeding wise. We need this one.
You guys run the ball like the Illini, or are you an aerial attack?
We're an air raid. Air raid.
All right. We might have to talk to Brett Bielema about that. Get some advice how we can incorporate the barge package out on the flag football field. Thank you all for listening, and go Illini.